Grant and Danny on the Fan all over the DMV 106.7 in Richmond now for the next 3 hours, AM 910, FM 105.1. And if you want to watch us, you can stream us on YouTube, 106.7, the Fan's YouTube page. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm Kondorian Murrah. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction and help you to draft a will, set up a trust, or create a power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you to get a discount. kmlawyers.com. Breaking news into the Fan just a few minutes ago. Emmanuel Forbes to have surgery on the UCL in his thumb. Now, I'm not a doctor. When I think UCL, I think like Tommy John,
I think
elbow.
My elbow, yeah.
That is normally not a thumb thing, but I guess there's one in the thumb too. He jacked it up. He needs an operation.
I guess there's UCLs everywhere. I didn't know that, so I learned something today. Yeah, I mean, listen, this is one of those things where it was impossible for me to really and truly believe that this group was going to make this huge leap this year and start to compete. And this is kind of an example. And it feels a little bit mean to pile on Emmanuel Forbes, but it's just kind of by way of example. Because you're sort of stuck, this is a first-round pick. You're not just going to cut him. You're not just going to move on from him. He's got 3, potentially 4 years left if somehow he gets to the point where you'd pick up his option. I don't think that was ever going to happen, but maybe it could, where it's cost prohibitive to move on. It's cost prohibitive to go find a free agent corner that you think would be an upgrade, right? So you go bargain shopping. You go with guys that you know, the Igbinoghanis, the Mike Davises of the world. You find guys that are available on the fairly cheap, and you plug them in to try to implement your culture. But you're going to see if a first-round pick from last year can play. You're going to do that. That's elementary. That's routine. But it also means it's prohibitive of this renaissance transformation where they're going to jump up and start beating everybody each and every week. I just don't see the path there. So, but for him personally, that's just such a bummer. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, as you said it before we went to break, everything's been piled on him. It's just somehow it's his fault that he was drafted that high.
Fast start.
He needed it, and he didn't get it.
The opposite has happened. Yeah. He had a bad game. Really, it was a play that made him kind of the butt of jokes, where he got 2 15-yard penalties I've never seen before, the PI and the face mask. And now you add to that you got hurt, bench/hurt, both at different points during the game, and now he's not going to be available for the short term, and I don't know how long moving forward he'll be out. But speaking of feeling bad piling on, this does not make them worse. The lack of depth hurts, and clearly you probably now have to elevate a corner off of the scrap heap. I don't know who plays that, you know, would not have been available because of inactivation, or maybe you elevate a corner from your own practice squad or something. But playing, if Michael Davis, let's say, is healthy and available and ready, getting him into the lineup, or seeing Noah Igbinoghanny more, maybe this means that we actually get to see more Mikey Sanristel outside or Quan Martin covering more. You just can't convince me that this is like a deal-breaking setback for this defense the way that he has played.
Mm-hmm.
He was their lowest graded player this past week. So hopefully he gets healthy, because the only way for him to continue to get better and to develop and frankly to become a rosterable, startable contributor is for him to just continue to improve. And that's not going to happen while you're rehabbing from this thumb injury, obviously. But I don't think this is a damaging loss from a personnel standpoint, the way he's been playing in any way.
I think that's very well said. And again, there's no way to separate it. I do feel bad for him personally, but we're talking about football and football production, and I don't think he's very capable right now of producing an awful lot. So a replacement-level player would be more than welcome.
Here's where I think people are wrong, though. So I just got a tweet from someone named Todd. Appreciate you listening in and hitting me up, at Grant H. Paulson on Twitter and Instagram. Danny's at Funny Danny. He said they should have cut him during training camp. No, they shouldn't have. Why would you do that? He was a first-round pick last year. Who, let's just say he was a fourth-round pick last year, and at that point you're on the roster bubble, and who knows, maybe he gets cut. I bet he doesn't, because he actually won a starting job at training camp. A, they don't have good cornerbacks. It's not like there's 3 really good corners that don't get to play because they're busy playing Emmanuel Forbes. They don't have depth of proven, legitimate players at that position. Their other starter is a third-round pick that they had here, who I like a little bit, but who has also really struggled and not really had a whole lot to show for his couple of seasons on the grass after being drafted by the previous regime either. So that's number one. Number two, he did, in college, used differently, obviously, show that he had an elite trait, and that was his ball-hawking skills. That was his playmaking ability. He broke the record for pick sixes. when you get the ball in his hands, which hasn't happened yet, obviously, and he's in space, he has a knack for making plays after the reception, so to speak. So it's not like there's nothing redeemable about this guy. He has ball skills, and he has the ability to do something after he picks off a pass. Now, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but this idea that he should have been cut is just silly to me. Whether he should be starting or not, definite conversation. Whether you would bet on him ever becoming a first-round caliber player, of course, sure. But I feel the same way about him as I did Jamin Davis a couple years ago. They shouldn't have cut Jamin Davis, who's fast and physical. And find a way to use this person. That's what coaching is. Find a way to take this SEC athlete who was exceptional at an SEC program and did something no one had ever done before in college football and find a way to make him rosterable. That's the job. And oh, by the way, I've been told what geniuses we have in terms of coaching up the secondary and making DBs better with their coaching and how the last group was so terrible at it. So figure out a way to make this guy not terrible. That's the gig.
So I take a different tact and get to the same conclusion. To me, it's about salary cap. There's nothing to be gained by moving on from, I'll start with Jamin Davis. You would have owed him $4.5 million just for the fact that his name is Jamin Davis. Cut him, don't cut him, whatever. If you want to keep him, if you don't think he can play linebacker for you, have him on special teams. Find something for him to do. He can be the backup holder. He can be the guy that holds the clipboard. He can be the guy that claps the loudest when good things happen. But there's no reason to cut him. $4.5 million whether he plays or doesn't. That's number one. And then you go to Forbes. You've got 3 years left. You would have owed him $12.6 million of dead cap money. For what? To prove some point? No, there's no reason to do that. You take your time. You see for sure. I've already got my mind made up, by the way. I don't think he can play at this level. I don't think he can be effective. Maybe I'll be wrong on a second or third stop. But there's no upside in that. Just the realistic way that rosters are constructed. It would be a pointless, futile act of a temper tantrum just to kick a guy out because he didn't play well. He's got some athletic traits, some skill set. Maybe the next regime could find it or the next place can find it. I don't know that anybody here is going to. But you owe so much money, it's worth trying to figure that out.
The outside corner rotation with him injured, and we'll find out probably based on whether he's IR'd or not, the length of the recovery. But St. Juste, who maybe travels, I don't know. Maybe you have him run around with Malik Nabers, who seems like a guy you should probably be starting on your fantasy team.
You should worry about him, yeah.
Noah Igbinoghene, who played a little bit outside on the boundary for Forbes this past week, and then Michael Davis, who somehow didn't play, who was one of their additions, who played a lot of training camp on the outside. But those are the guys initially. The good news is, outside of Nabers, there's just nobody on the Giants who worries you.
Yeah, Wandale Robinson got 12 targets and I think about 8 yards in week number one.
Did he really have 12 targets?
He got 12 targets, by the way. Yeah.
Good God. I wonder how many of those were like he was the guy when they threw it out of bounds. But still, that's preposterous. I'm not even doing a bit.
What did pop me?
But yeah, that's gross. And that team, from a weaponry standpoint, has been bad for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And outside of Nabers, with Barkley now in Philly, still is. So thank God you're not playing a team that, you know, like the Vikings or the Dolphins or something this week, where you know you've got Hill and Waddle and just wide receivers out the wazoo. Here's what I kept teasing, though, and we didn't get to because of the breaking Forbes news. They're giving away something I've never seen given away at games before that is specific to Jaden Daniels at the stadium this week. The Commanders are going to be giving out boxes of waffle mix at Northwest Stadium. And you go, wait, I'm sorry, did you say waffle mix? I did. It turns out Jaden Daniels loves waffles, and his pregame routine is to eat not one, but two. They were very careful in specifying that. He doesn't just eat one waffle, Danny. He eats two waffles before every game. So for the fans in attendance, via Bisquick, you are going to be getting a football-themed box of waffle mix for attending the game so that you can be Jaden Daniels and eat your two waffles on an upcoming football Sunday.
So I've seen Ben Stanek, who had this. I haven't seen anyone else say anything about it.
They passed out some information in the media room today to let the media know that they were doing it.
I guess my point is I believe it. I'm just going to say, if this is the case, and it sounds like it is, this is fantastic.
I think it's a great bit.
This is fantastic. Yes. Whoever's in charge, let them know that I'm saying fantastic. Yes. yes to this. This is splendid. This is not some kitschy thing that you're going to chuck in the trash, or some, you know, piece of plastic that's going to break, or some sort of, you know, shoddily made toy. This is, now, it may not be the most fun thing to carry around all day. I wonder if you get it when you leave. I don't know the deal.
I would say there's no way they're going to give it to you when you walk in, because then a lot of them are going to end up on the field.
Yeah.
Normally you get this kind of thing.
Good thought.
You get them when you walk out.
Yeah. It's like 17-3 Giants in the fourth, and all of a sudden, Bisquick on the field, seat cushion.
The seat cushion game?
Yeah.
This will be
the Bisquick game.
The Bisquick waffle box game, right? So, yeah, you get this kind of thing when you leave.
I am so in favor of this. This is fantastic. This is fun. This is, no one's harmed here. This is a nice cross promotion. I am a fan of this. Good job.
Yeah, it's good for two reasons for me. The first reason is it's a present. It's a gift. It's something you don't have to do. Football doesn't do as many of the giveaways as, say, they do in baseball, where the Nats are giving out these 1924 world champion Washington Senators. I'll show it off here on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream.
You're smacking around there. Yeah, that's good. Yep. Yeah.
So that you guys can see it on YouTube. So they sent these over to the station, and I snagged one of them. But like in baseball, they give these away all the time. Bobblehead, something cool, something fun, gets you in the ballpark. Football doesn't really need to, except the teams that need to do need to. And Washington's one of those teams. But they have not really been in the business of cool giveaways. They might do a little rally towel here or something small there. But I just think this is funny, number one, and in addition to just being a gift, the old give them a pickle thing that I always talk about, like make your consumer happy, extend the olive branch, it's also on brand for Jaden Daniels. Now, I didn't know this about JD. I had no idea he was a waffle mark and he eats two before every game. But apparently it's a thing, and it teaches you a little bit about your player. It opens up, you know, the visor, so to speak, for Daniels, and you learn a little bit more about your franchise quarterback. And it's an on-brand gift that is like playing up something fun about one of the faces, and frankly, the face of the franchise. So what's not to like? Good job.
Nobody's hurt. I mean, you might get one person yelling about gluten or something like that, but they probably shouldn't be outside anyway.
Today's day and age, they'll get sued because you need to provide something for me as a vegan. Is this vegan or I don't know.
Who knows?
Like the Nats, remember when they were doing their fun little thing, the Nats were like, hey, if you're under the age of 35, young professional deal. Come on over to Nats Park, single game tickets at this rate. And some guy who was 40 sued them. Was like, actually, that's age discrimination. That's ageist.
Yeah.
So I'm sure like the big French toast is going to be pissed. And they're going to sue because they're doing waffles.
I actually enjoy pancakes more than waffles. What do I get?
Big pancake is going to be so salty about
big
this.
Big pancake's
giveaway.
A great bet. This is fantastic. I think you touched on both reasons why. Hey, again, this is a... I mean, it costs a little bit of money, but this is one of those low... It's not like you had to go to a production line somewhere. Bisquick already made it for you. You know what I mean? You just make sure the boxes are available. It promotes your guy. It's a nice thing for the fans that have bought in. That's all that I think season ticket holders and people that you know, I've given up going and I'll never go again, but the people that still do it to themselves are trying to decide every time. There's an easy answer. Sometimes that answer is no, I'm not going to. You make them feel good. You make them happy. You give them a nice thing just for signing up.
But to this is more ironic funny. Like, this is not a feel-good present, I don't think, in the sense that, like, walking out with a grocery item is kind of random. But I think the point is, it's good shtick. It's skits and bits. The guy eats pancakes. You can be like, Jaden, eat a pancake.
There you go.
Box looks like a football. I hope they do a breakfast theme where, like, next week, Luke McCaffrey likes pancakes. So they do two of those for you. Or like the week after that, you know what Johnny Newton loves? Johnny Newton loves sausage links.
He loves oatmeal. So you get a little instant oats.
So by the end of the season, you get two eggs for Mike Sanders still day. And at the end of the year, you put everything in the fridge. You can make a breakfast on your way to the last game based on what everybody likes for breakfast. But yeah, good enough and cool that they're giving something out. Fun idea.
Good job.
We'll get to know Jaden Daniels. Speaking of Jaden Daniels, his offensive coordinator had a lot to say about his first game when he met with the media today, Cliff Kingsbury. So let's go through some of these comments from Kingsbury from his session today, starting with what he learned about Jaden Daniels from his performance in week one. This was just this afternoon, the very deep voice of Cliff Kingsbury.
The competitive spirit, I think, just to watch how he continued to fight, especially at the end. You know, I called one of the worst plays I've ever called in my entire career, and he just took the ball and ran into the end zone, you know, and it was like he was not going to be denied there on the goal line, and it says a lot about him in that situation. You know, a lot of people would not have taking that opportunity to drive that ball down and then put it in the end zone, and he wanted the ball in his hands and wanted to score. So that was exciting to see. I think every day he gains more and more credibility in the locker room with his, you know, work ethic, his attention to detail, and then the competitive spirit is as good as I've ever been around.
So you heard like I did there. He said it was one of the worst calls he'd ever had. And I thought he meant I shouldn't be calling goal line stuff and him taking hits at the end of a game where we've already lost. Like, frankly, I thought he would come out or should come out and say, that was probably a mistake. Heat of the moment, wasn't really thinking from a 10,000-foot view. But that's not really what he meant, as you hear him elaborate here on why it was the worst call. He was more annoyed that he didn't give him the option to get out of it if he had a bad look, bad front that he was going to run into.
Mm-hmm.
Less about the health of his quarterback or taking the shot. This was Kingsbury.
Basically, I didn't give him a check to get out of it, so they didn't bump with the motion. They had about three guys outside on the option, and so he saw that, and he ran it anyways and just stuck his foot on the ground and cut back and ran a couple guys over and got in the end zone. So with that look, he needs a play to check out of, and he just said, snap it, and said, I got you, coach, got in the end zone. But yeah, if I had that one back, I would rather him not get hit like that.
So he does acknowledge at the end he doesn't want him getting hit. But I guess my point when he first said that was, I thought, oh, good, there's an acknowledgement they should not have been running the ball down there. And that really wasn't at all what he was saying as much as...
It was like the secondary effect of it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, we shouldn't be running the ball into that look. And whenever I call that play in that situation, I need to give him another play that he could go to if the defense is aligning in a way where it's not going to work. And he basically commended Daniels for making it work because he's an athlete.
Yeah. Which you can go to the well sometimes. Right? I mean, in a tie game in the fourth quarter against the Giants this week, all right, bowl them over and let's get that touchdown. But we're going to all be holding our breath while it happens. Down 23 with, you know, a matter of seconds left may not be the best time to ram it in there.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Now, you are team pancake, not team waffle.
Oh, yeah, it's all great. Just different delivery methods, but pancake's the one seed, yes.
1 to 10, pancake. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Pancake's 10. It's in my five favorite foods.
Waffle.
9.4.
Wow, you love a waffle.
Yeah, I love because the natural cups for both the butter and the syrup, and then your fruit topping if you want to go
French
get a
toast.
Randy. 8.8.
Ooh, really disrespectful.
No, it's excellent.
The French toast,
really, really good.
So, as you know, I found out on my little mini vacation this summer that I actually do like pancakes, which is a really nice thing.
Big revelation for you.
French toast is a 9.97.
Mm-hmm.
Pancakes are an 8.1, and waffles are going to be like a 7.96.
Okay.
I'll eat them all.
Sure.
I'll have them all. But it's French toast first and second.
Uh-huh.
Maybe third. And if I got more time, we'll try something else. But you're forgetting about how good French toast is.
No, I remembered it. But the difference is, like, you've got batter for the best ones. The batter, which is, like, what we're getting here. Like, this is the waffle batter.
Yeah, the waffle
pancake batter. Versus just a piece of toast. That's like dressed really well.
You're forgetting that egg.
See, the difference is, well, I remember the whole thing. There's a vanilla extract and some cinnamon.
Yeah.
It's all good.
You're getting a little cinnamon?
You could put me in a tuxedo. I'd rather have Tom Wilson in a tuxedo. See what I'm saying? Just a piece of toast over here.
You're forgetting syrup.
Tom Wilson's the batter.
Syrup.
It goes on all of those things, though. It's not exclusive. The syrup's not exclusive to your French toast.
No, but it makes it that much better. A little syrup, a little butter.
With
right
the batter.
There, a little crispy toast.
All those things with the... See, it's not crispy anymore. It's wet. It's been cooked.
Delicious.
It's wet.
We
it's
hope
very
so.
Good. It's very good.
You know what you're forgetting?
What's that?
How good French toast is.
I remember very well. Just toast all dressed up.
Maybe that'll be week 4.
Someone likes French toast. Maybe. Look at that.
Who likes French toast?
Week 8, croque monsieurs for everybody.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, more from Cliff Kingsbury on Jaden Daniels running as much as he did. What does he think about that? Why did he run so much? Is that going to be something we see more of? His answer was surprising. This is G&D. Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:15 tonight. That's when Nats pregame starts. They got the Marlins in town, 6:45 first pitch. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler on the call. Down the stretch, the Nats come. Will Brinson of CBS joins us to go around the NFL at 5. We'll be busy for the duration of the program. Right now, though, Cliff Kingsbury met with the media, got a lot of answers from the OC on what was a pretty ugly passing performance in week one for the Commanders, and just offensively not what we drew up around here in the offseason, although Jaden Daniels did show off the legs, was named the player of the week among rookies in the NFL for his 88 yards and 2 touchdowns this past weekend. This was Cliff Kingsbury on what's going to get Jaden Daniels to a point where he can go through his progressions and develop as a passer. This is what he had to say this afternoon.
Just playing, you know, that you have to play to even come close to simulating what a live NFL game is in season on Sundays. And I thought, like I said, his operation to not have any pre-snap penalties, to only have 2 penalties overall, one of them probably shouldn't have been a penalty, was really good. No play clock violations. I mean, I thought he handled himself well, and as he plays, the game will continue to slow down.
Thoughts?
There was the one timeout at the start of the second half that I couldn't stand on a 3rd and 10. I mean, that to me is a coaching point, that there needs to be a, hey, we're not getting that first down. Now, they ended up getting it via a very fortunate penalty. They got bailed out. But we're not getting that. That's probably not worth burning in a game that we think we're going to be close in, or we hope to be. That second half timeout's too precious to waste 9 seconds in on a 3rd and long. But in general, I think it's a good point, honestly, is we always have to remember that practice is one thing, even preseason games are one thing, but now in an NFL game, there's no higher level. There's no getting called up to the next show. This is it. Everything's going to be racing a little bit faster. And to not have those kind of penalties of I'm too overwhelmed, and you know, some of the mechanics of getting out of the huddle and those sorts of deals actually is something we shouldn't take for granted.
I have 2 takeaways on that answer. The first is I agree with him completely, and everyone needs to settle down. It has been 1 game in this guy's career. 1. The idea that that performance was gospel, or that, you know, his issues in that game are the issues he'll have in 5 years. Everybody relax, please. It takes time. Now, I'm not saying in week 14 or even week 7 that we have to have the exact same conversation. But he had 1 game in an era where nobody cares about the preseason and you don't get to play very much. And where, other than really the joint practices, you knew what the defense was doing throughout practice constantly. So let's just all settle down a little bit with these big picture takeaways on Jaden Daniels. And this is where, going back to Monday, my point was, we are going to analyze this game, and we are going to talk about these 60 minutes of football as an individual entity. Takeaways from that game are not the same as takeaways for a guy's career, right? So I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
Second takeaway, though, I had from what Cliff Kingsbury said is, you know, he needs to play. This is why I wish teams, including this one, did not pretend like the preseason is an inconvenience. They treat the preseason like a damn inconvenience, and it infuriates me when after he has a game like that where he's not comfortable, and you're not going to be comfortable even if you played 12 quarters in the preseason, but you'd be a hell of a lot more comfortable. And Cliff Kingsbury's answer is, well, he just needs to play. He needs time on the grass. He needs to see things.
Was there any opportunity for that?
If only you didn't elect not to give him almost any in the month where you're allotted this. Now, there are people listening who are going to say the juice isn't worth the squeeze. The risk of getting him injured is not worth him getting off to a better start as a passer in week one. And that's a reasonable enough conversation. We could be on both sides of that. I'll disagree with you. But it is maddening to me that the preseason is viewed as an inconvenience, when then after a game you're going to say, yeah, we just need more time. He just needs to play. You had 12 quarters of football where you could have reasonably had him play 5 of them if you wanted to. They chose to have him play like 3 drives or whatever it was. I mean, it was minuscule. It was a nothing burger.
So my retort to that is, and you and I have argued about the preseason forever, we don't have to. My point is, what about all the reps you wasted pretending it was a competition? What about those? Could those have helped?
Sure.
We had a lot of time where we had to pretend that it might be Marcus Mariota or something, or he had to earn it. And if you want him on the grass, You know who controls that is the coaching staff. You put them right there on that grass and with the lines that govern where the field of play is, and you say, you get to play. Now, is that the same as a regular season game? No. Same argument for preseason. All the reps that went to Marcus Mariota, who was inactive for week one, I would love to have those back. I would have loved to have given them to Jaden Daniels, but that's another hill to die on at a different time. But the big picture point, though, from Kingsbury is correct. There is no need to anoint, no need to bury, no need to slam the gavel one way or the other. This is a beginning to hopefully something that's going to happen that's going to be good for a very long time. And this is the first step. And in that first step, by the way, he won the Rookie of the Week. Yeah, he didn't throw it great, but I think there's plenty of growth to be had there. And this is a growing process for everybody. So this is one of the things I talk about all the time when it comes to quarterbacks. Sometimes patience is not rewarded. Sometimes you're patient with somebody, it turns out they can't do it. Other times it's Josh Allen. You know what I mean? Like the whole point is the guy's under contract for 4, probably 5 years. Let's use that time until we are sure one way or the other, and we can react accordingly.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We'll get back into Cliff Kingsbury's thoughts on Jaden Daniels' debut in just a moment. Daniels, you found out on this show today, because we're investigative journalists, likes waffles.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves waffles so much that Ben Standard reported that you would be able to get some waffles potentially going into the game on Sunday. It turns out I've got some birdies chirping at me. This is not a thing.
Oh, no.
So it's not a completely incorrect anecdote from out in Ashburn, but there was a little confusion, it seems like. Apparently, Jaden Daniels' marketing team is doing a deal with Bisquick where fans will be able to get their hands on special boxes of Bisquick pancakes with Jaden Daniels' like face on them that are like look like a football. And there's a deal they're doing with him because he likes waffles. That is different than giving them away at the game, which is not a thing that is happening. So if you're going to the stadium and you're asking, where are my waffles?
Grant and Danny told me there'd be waffles. There's no waffles.
So you know how many people are going to be doing this? Hey, I listened to Grant and Danny. They told me I'm getting waffles. Where are my waffles? Because there's a lot of people that aren't listening anymore that were then. Just
tell them. Find them and tell them there's no waffle.
No waffle for you. You will not be getting waffles. Listen to the audible here. My guy Ben Standing's the best. I don't think anybody grinds harder on that beat. Like, he is always working. But the audible was, turns out Jaden Daniels digs pregame waffles. Fans attending the home opener will receive waffle mix before Sunday's game. Griddle up. Seems pretty intuitive. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you're going to the game, you get waffles. Turns out Jaden Daniels digs pregame waffles, and fans will have a chance to receive one of these waffle mix boxes via the rookie's Instagram page. Griddle up.
Very, very different. So I wonder.
So if you follow Jaden Daniels on Instagram and you watch his Instagram lives, maybe you can get some waffles.
So I'm not joning. I'm trying to offer a comparison here.
Yeah.
Who was the wide receiver when you were on the beat where you go, this guy's on the roster, it's happening, it's a done deal, he's going to get signed, and then he didn't.
Eddie Royal,
thank you. Went to Virginia Tech.
Yes.
Every report said the same, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And you've said a million times, you still think about that one sometimes.
It's the only thing I ever reported that was ended up being categorically wrong.
Is this Ben Standing's Eddie Royal?
No, of course not. I mean, he got an email from a marketing person probably and looked at it quickly and thought, they're going to be giving these away at the stadium, and it turns out you can get them on Instagram. I mean, it's a little...
Again, a little that's so different. It's like,
you're killing Ben right now.
I'm not. Saying that's a chasm. I'm Jeremy Maclin over here, for God's right. sakes. I'm, let's talk well, who's here. Well, tell me I've never messed up.
What I think's hilarious, though, is like you and I like praising this new ownership.
Hey, this is genius. Who's in charge of marketing over there? Get him on the horn, because that's brilliant.
This new marketing team, they know what they're doing. The way to a commander's heart is through their throat with food.
Yeah, they do. Shut up, Danny. We're talking.
Can we have one conversation once, Danny?
Why do you do that?
Unbelievable.
God, it's so
did he bounce?
No! No.
Is this a win for Jason Wright? 800-636.
What'd you like to see next? You want to do banking in week 5? What do you want? You want him to do syrup with it?
I mean, I was steamed up.
Oh, God. What a horse's ass.
I was going to have to walk down to the fan entrance just to grab myself some waffles.
I'm just congratulating everybody over there.
Can you imagine? And I'm so fat, too. So think about that. Like, the fat guy walks up, like, where's my waffles?
I was told there'd be waffles.
And Ben's standing. I show him the tweet. Actually, I'm like, hey, Standing said, they're like, I don't know anything about that, sir.
I don't care if you don't know. I have receipts. Benjamin is a credible reporter. Where's my waffles?
Do we need to get Standing on to break down what happened here with the waffles?
This is tough.
So let me be clear.
Let me be clear.
My daughters go to Sitwell Friends. You will not be getting waffles.
There's no waffles.
At the stadium.
There are no waffles.
You will potentially get waffles if you follow Jaden Daniels on Instagram.
Man, that couldn't be more different.
And there's a lot of like random Instagram lives where you're just kind of like looking there and like responding to a couple comments. So enjoy those and possibly get your waffles.
You might get to meet Brandon Ayuk on a live and you might get waffles on a live.
Here we go.
That's right, Al. There are no waffles given out of this game. Maybe like they have some kind of brunch in one of the suites or something here and there. I don't know. I don't know what the score there.
I think we've cleaned it up pretty well. But let's go around the horn really quickly just to really drive this point home. Our producer is Darius Dameron. Darius, you're going to the game on Sunday.
I will be in attendance, yes.
When I walked out during the last break, you high-fived me and said, and I quote, I can't believe I'm getting waffles. Now understand that you will not be getting waffles.
Wait, I'm not getting waffles? I thought we were getting waffles.
Nope, see the confusion. You see it?
Damn it.
You see it?
So it's not hitting home. There will be no waffles. Daniel Day-Lewis starred in a movie. It's called There Will Be No Waffles. Do you understand?
I take your waffles.
Ryan, you're not going to the game.
I'm not.
No. But in a world where you were, do you think you'd get waffles?
I do. Because, I mean, Ben tweeted about it.
Wrong. He did.
Wrong.
Are we sure?
No. Look at his account. It says, griddle up, follow Instagram. You could get him on Instagram. That's what it says.
But it also says you can get waffles.
But not at the game.
Are we sure?
Yeah, that's why you have the edit feature. That's why you have the edit button. So no waffles, to be clear. So can we read your rankings now? Can we go French toast since waffles screwed you over a little bit here?
Waffles kind of screwed me. Waffles screwed me a little bit. I'm knocking them down.
Pancakes number one?
Pancakes still 10. Waffle 9.0.
Okay.
The frost, the French toast, 877.
Ooh, closing in. Closing the gap.
877 like cars for kids, I think.
It's like a NASCAR race where you're seeing the gap dissipate. It's like, oh, last lap, we were back by a half second.
Do an F1 bit. Okay, waffles, push, 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 push.
Mm. Everybody gets it, right? We don't need to have people call in and make sure they understand one at a time that you're not getting waffles. There will be no waffles. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I got more Cliff Kingsbury thoughts. That was supposed to have been a detailed breakdown on everything Kingsbury said today at the podium. But
what if he addressed the waffle situation at the podium with his deep voice?
What if Kingsbury went back to the podium right now and was like, I have one more thing. I just want to make it clear, Jaden does like waffles, but we won't be giving those away at the game. I think Jaden still likes them.
I'm sure he does. That part's true.
Possibly. What if he hates waffles? What if the story is we find out Jaden Daniels is allergic to waffles?
Oh, my God.
That would be tough.
Oh, man.
Let's hope he's not allergic to waffles. Waffles, : Jaden Daniels. Lobster, : Darius Dameron. That's like a SAT-style analogy bit.
That's right.
Double play is next. What's going on in your lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Some great tweets are coming in at Grant H. Paulson at Funny Danny. Joe said, you guys have made me look foolish. It's a screen grab of a text conversation with his buddy. He texts his buddy Jack. He says, nothing like 106.7 during football season. And his buddy on an iPhone, like, used the two exclamation points.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, you ain't kidding, man. Because we're awesome like that. And then he says, I just learned they're giving out a box of waffle mix to everyone who goes Sunday. Because Jaden eats waffles before every game. And his buddy goes, LMAO, that's unreal.
Mm.
Next text. Apparently it was a false report, shaking my head. But he sends me the screen grab.
Oh.
And he goes, you guys made me look foolish. Sorry, bro. Yeah, we did.
Yep.
It's true. Blessed in the DMV asks, so how do we get these waffles again?
Again, I actually don't know the answer.
That's a really funny
And thing. I'm sorry that I don't know.
I don't think he really wants to know. I think he's joning.
Oh.
I think it's a zing.
Well, if someone genuinely wants the waffles, I can't help you. I don't know what to do.
I got to be honest. I have been made to look like too much of a fool. I'm now out on the whole thing. I can't be the waffle guy anymore. I'm not going to be the liaison between the J. Daniels Instagram and the waffles. Something to do with his Instagram account. Go look there. That's as much as I can help.
I think that's fair.
I can tell you where the waffles will not be.
Let's start a list. Ready? Go.
Northwest Stadium.
Great list.
There will be no waffles. They might have waffles available to you.
This is the tricky part.
The concession stand. I almost said confession stand.
Would that be weird?
A priest is sitting in.
Blessed be Father Fry of Sin. Here's your waffle, my son. What the hell?
It has been several months
since my last waffle. This is tough all around. Like, nobody wins here, right? If there's never been the promise of waffles, then I don't think anybody would be frustrated or sad or ticked off.
I don't think anybody is frustrated or sad.
Well,
I think everyone's going to be fine.
If you promised waffles and you don't get any, you see what I'm saying? It's the promising.
What if you were never promised waffles?
If I'm just driving around, minding my business.
Yeah.
Grant and Danny, if I can say trusted afternoon drive gentlemen here on 106.7 The Fan.
Yeah, I trusted. Think we had a slogan for a long time, Grant and Danny on your side.
Yeah.
Investigative journalists.
Like, so much is going to die in the dark. Grant and Danny. You know what I mean? Like, that's right. Kind of our thing. And we're telling you, how great is this? The PR folks should be congratulated.
The marketing team is like, this is a win for everyone involved with the Harris ownership.
I use this give them the pickle analogy all the time, and they're giving people a pickle.
This is why I love Mitch Rails.
When people,
you know what I mean? Like, I bet you this is Mitch's idea.
Season ticket holders are looking for a reason to come back. People who are making the decision every week whether or not they want in or not, and now you're doing something for them? Fantastic.
This is what we've been saying.
Ugh.
It is time for our double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers, stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
Somehow, a television show on Netflix with characters based on a 1980s movie has gone more than six seasons, and I've watched every episode. I don't know how this show does it, GP, but Cobra Kai remains light, fun entertainment. It doesn't take itself too seriously. It's got the exact right tone of dun-dun-dun, kind of 80s over-the-top movie villain stuff where, you know, Jason once again puts his hand through the earth and comes back and torments people. Oh, it's not a horror movie, but you know what I mean. It's that same thing where the unkillable, you can't get rid of him, and the bad guy's always around and somehow gets through stuff. And even though he's wanted by all the law enforcement, federal, state, local, whatever, he still just kind of emerges at a karate tournament and nobody's thinking, hey, I see this wanted felon here. Let me just call the police and have him cuffed and stuff, but whatever. It's teenagers doing karate, and somehow I have ripped through all six seasons again. This is not Oscar stuff. This is not an Emmy Award winner. This is not something that's special. You're not going to go, I can't wait till my kids are old enough I could show them Breaking Bad, or I want them to sit down with me and watch The Wire or The Sopranos or one of these prestige television shows. I can't wait till my son is in his 20s and he can appreciate Mad Men. No, it's not that. It's bubblegum. It's fluff, but I'm telling you, I've watched every episode. I can't stop.
All right, if we're just going to make this double play about what we're watching, I started myself a program last night. What kind of show do I love?
There can't be too many episodes.
Yeah, well, I don't mean like what are the requirements.
No, I'm going to get there.
What genre of show do I love?
I'm going to give you all of it. There can't be too many episodes.
Yeah.
There can't be too many people talking about it. There's got to be just enough. I discovered this. I invented it. I deserve credit. But most of all, my guy, Grant Harrison Paulson, he wants one thing. Who done it?
Danny.
That's what he wants. He doesn't know.
Let's go.
He doesn't know who did it, and he wants to know.
This is my guy knows a thing or two about his guy.
Stop it.
So it's either Hard Knocks, like Access Sports programming, or it's a whodunit. You don't know what I stubbed my toe into last night, brand new on Netflix.
I don't know.
I got myself a little whodunit. I am steamed. Cranked out two episodes. I sat there and I said, do I want to get a little bit of abuse tomorrow morning from the wife for coming to bed super late and, you know, sleeping in really
late? Catch a little flack, yeah.
I decided to go to bed. But as soon as I'm done at Nats Park and with Thursday Night Football tonight.
What are you going to do?
The Perfect Couple. A Life to Kill For. Do you know about this?
Is that the Lacey Peterson bit?
No. That's
another one?
I know who did that one. That one's pretty easy. I knew that one about 20
allegedly
years
or something. I don't know.
Oh, I think he's in prison.
I don't know who's where.
Okay. Well, I can tell you where he is.
Okay.
He's in prison. Nicole Kidman.
Oh.
Liev Schreiber. Ever heard of him?
Is he narrating this or is he acting?
Some other gorgeous actresses who are incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
Eve Hewson and Megan Fahey among them. Not to be confused with former Baltimore Orioles mediocre infielder Brandon Fahey.
Brandon Fahey.
This show is about a super rich family. The mom is a renowned author. They live in, it's like a Cape Cod type deal, but just all of the nicest things. And I'm only a couple episodes in, but there's this big wedding party that got together. Somebody ends up dead, and we're trying to figure out who did it.
We're getting to the bottom of it.
You know what kind of show it is?
It's a whodunit.
It's a whodunit. Let's go.
It's getting decent scores on the old, the usual outlets, right? Your Rottens and your IMDBs and whatever.
Can I get here's what I'll give you. I'm going to get a rapid reaction, Danny Rouillet, from the synopsis.
Go.
When one lavish wedding ends in disaster before it can even begin, with a body discovered in Nantucket Harbor just hours before the ceremony, everyone in the wedding party is suddenly a suspect. What do you think?
It's baiting the hook. I'm gulping a little bit. I'm swimming around near the hook.
Now, my wife, not going to like this.
She's not going to like it.
Because there's basic things she did, like violence, the idea of a death. Like, she's just not in.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Rouillets could enjoy this, though. I do.
I bet you.
It's like this. I think you're in a good spot with this. So go ahead and dangle this one in front of the wife, see what she thinks. Nicole Kidman is like this unlikable mom. There's a lot of moving parts, and we got ourselves a real mystery unfolding in front of us here. It's exactly what I'm looking for.
It's your wheelhouse.
I think it's what Danny's looking for sometimes, more so than he even knows.
I like a whodunit, fine. Like, but you're obsessed. You love them.
It's great.
Like your TV show. If there was an actual TV show on like regular television, it's still cable. But you're going, oh, new First 48. Like, I wouldn't do that. But you love that.
I do love a First 48.
Yeah.
Still to come on G&D in the hour ahead. I want to get back into Kingsbury's comments on how many times Jaden Daniels ran. Is that something we can expect? Plus, the Giants are bad on defense. Is Washington's offense going to be able to take advantage? You're listening to The Fan. Let's get you a blitz next.